Evening. Good to have you back again. Happy New Year. Happy New Year to you. I hope you've had a beautiful, well, this third already, 2 days in the year. Right, so we're just going to go right for the word. Okay, let's go into the word. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion, no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this evening. And we declare and decree that at the end of this meeting as saints, we are edified, and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, Happy New Year once more. We will just go right into the word, okay? Go all the way with me to Ephesians chapter 5. All right? Go all the way with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, go all the way to verse 17. Yep, so look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 quickly. Or before you get to verse 17, go all the way to verse 15. Let's look at Ephesians 5, 15. Now it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Look at that again carefully. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Now look at verse 16, trying to qualify what he's really talking about. He says, "Redeeming the time because the days are evil." Redeeming the time because the days are evil. So look at that again, verse 15. "See then that ye walk circumspectly," Ephesians 5, "not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil." Now look at verse 17. "Wherefore be ye not unwise." Well, if you look carefully, he's describing two states. One is the state of being wise, and one is the state of being unwise. And he's trying to make you see that being wise has to do with redeeming and redeeming something, redeeming the time, okay? Being unwise, he now says in verse 17, "Wherefore being not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." So it means by extension as well, not understanding the will of God, or not understanding the will of the Lord, will link into being unwise, or being unwise, whilst understanding the will of the God of the Lord will link into being wise. So redeeming the time, being wise, will link into the understanding of being understanding of what the will of the Lord is, and being unwise and not understanding what the will of the Lord is. They would actually be linked or interlinked into themselves. But so the question I want to understand this beautiful evening is, what exactly is the will of the Lord? So go all the way to Matthew's Gospel 28. Okay. So go all the way to Matthew's Gospel 28. Go all the way with me to Matthew's Gospel chapter 28. And let's pay attention to a few things there. It says Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. It says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." It says, all power. We said the word their power is the word authority. We said the word their power is the word authority. So Jesus is saying, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Right? So he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." Now, one of the things we've done over the last few years, months really, days really, is that we've tried to explain Matthew's Gospel 28, 18 to 20 with certain fundamentals in mind, right? Just like I said now, it says all power is given unto me. It said the word, their power is authority. We've done a quick teaching on that to show what how that we arrived at that conclusion. And also we spoke about the heaven, you know, heaven and earth, in verse 18, that's about the use of, you know, the temple, right? And we said heaven fundamentally in scriptures is not the blue skies above your head, but basically the world of the supernatural or the world of the unseen, right, and the earth will be that world which is seen. Okay, so in essence, go there for and teach all nations. We've tried to pay attention to the word teach. On Sunday, we also looked at that again. We said what they teach means to make disciples. It means to make disciples. It means to intentionally instruct and disciple or make or educate. Yeah, you can use the word as well. So educate or make people, students who are being educated, right? Or make people. So that's what they teach. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. Now, one of the things that we've done as well is to explain baptizing them in the name of the Father, right, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Now, we said that the word they're baptizing there does not mean dipping people into water, okay? So, baptizing them in the name of the Father doesn't mean put them into water, then bring them out, then they're trying to catch their breath, then you bring them again, that's Father, bring them out again, they're trying to catch their breath, that's the Son, put them into the water again, and try to bring them out so that they can catch their breath. That's the spirit. Well, go all the way to Mark. Look at Mark. Let me really just say something passing about that. Look at Mark 16, okay? So Mark 16, verse 15. Go all the way with me to Mark 16, verse 15. Okay? So Mark 16, 15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Right? So that's the instruction. It says, preach the gospel to every creature. Right, and preach the gospel to every creature. Right, he now says in verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Happy are you if you actually understand that when he says he that believeth and is baptized, he's not saying he that believes then is dipped into water. Are we together? Right, go all the way to John. So you were in Matthew, don't forget, you're in Matthew 28, you went all the way to Mark, then go all the way to John chapter 3. Okay, so look at John chapter 3. Okay, so look at John chapter 3 and look at verse 5. Yeah, just for our time, look at verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, those the him, verse 1 tells you there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, right? And who was Nicodemus? He was one who was a ruler of the Jew, right? He said unto Jesus, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now look at verse 3. Jesus answered in verse 3, and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So a man needs to be born again to see the kingdom of God. Now, Nicodemus said unto him in verse 4, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? That's a very logical, brilliant question that needs to be asked, right? And then Jesus tries to put clarity to that. He says, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Right? So a man needs to be born of water and of the Spirit. Except that happens, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, if you look at verse 3, he spoke about the kingdom of God as well. However, he said, see the kingdom of God. So he says he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 5 says he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, mind you, when Jesus said enter into the kingdom of God, Jesus was further explaining what he had said earlier as see the kingdom of God. Right? So to see the kingdom or to see the kingdom will be to enter. Altogether, he's not describing two things. One, you see from afar, and the second, you enter. No, right? To see will actually mean to enter. Now, how do you know that? He says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, what does he call it in verse 3? Except a man be born again. So Jesus first says this, a man needs to be born again. He further explains born again as being born of water and the Spirit. So for those of you who love mathematics and those who don't really, so be born again in verse 3 will be equal to be born of water and of the Spirit in verse 5. Look at that again. Yeah, except a man be born again, verse 3. Look at verse 5. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. So born again will be replaced with born of water and of the Spirit. Now, the word born again there is a word that in the real sense, it can be used as being born from above. That means being born from heaven or being born from the world that is unseen, right? That's what Jesus was saying. How do we really know? That's why when he explained it, he said, it is being water, I mean to say the Spirit. You see the word there and in the Greek, yeah, between the word born of water and of the Spirit, the word there and is a word that a lot of times can be used to further explain what was said before. A quick don't forget you're in Matthew's Gospel 28, right? A quick example is in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. Yeah, you should write that down. When it says the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, what a lot of us do in our once we do our teaching meetings, our services, which we say we share the grace. Okay, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Spirit. So, yeah, what Paul was really teaching was, or is, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the supply of the Spirit, or the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is to say, I mean to say, the love of God, that is to say, the supply, the fellowship, the koinonia, the giving of the Spirit. Okay, so that same word as well applies there. So if you read John chapter 3, verse 5, it says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, I mean to say, of the Spirit. Right? So to be born again really means to be born of the Spirit. Right, so using water is just to illustrate or point your attention to the Spirit. Right, so if you were to choose only one word in verse 5 to replicate what is said in verse 3, you can say, except a man be born again is equal to except a man be born from above, yeah, and is equal to except a man be born of the Spirit. Or before you get to the Spirit, you can say, born from heaven, or born from the, you know, supernatural, or born by the supernatural, or born by the Spirit. Okay, so water there is used to qualify the Spirit. Look at John 7. Yeah, go all the way to John chapter 7. Look at John 7, verse 39. John 7, verse 37. So this is the same Jesus. So the same Jesus who thought about being born again is the same Jesus who thought about being born of water, that is of the Spirit. Now look at, okay, so before you look at John 7, go to Ezekiel 36. Okay, why do you have so many fingers, right? In the coming year, you're going to open so many scriptures, okay? So look at Ezekiel 36. Don't forget, you're in Matthew's Gospel. In fact, really, you're in Ephesians chapter 5, yeah? So look at Ezekiel chapter 36, okay? So Ezekiel, a prophet who will be a student of Moses, we'll talk about water and see what it says. Look at verse 24, Ezekiel 36. Verse 24, Ezekiel 36, verse 24. He says, for I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries. I will bring you into your own land, right? I will bring you into your own land. Go all the way to verse 25. Then I will sprinkle. Yeah, listen carefully. Then I will sprinkle clean water. So who is talking? Go back to verse 23. He says, and I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God. Right? So the Lord God is the one talking in verse 23 as an utterance you will see in the book of Ezekiel. Right? So when you now see in verse 24, I will take you from among the heathen, right? What are you really supposed to see there? It is God that is doing the taking from the heathen, right? If you go all the way to verse 25, it says, then will I sprinkle. So who is the will that, or who is the person, or who will sprinkle? Yeah, the person that will sprinkle clean water is who? God himself. The God who will take out of heathen is the one that will sprinkle clean water. Okay, so I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. Dear saints, only God sprinkles water, and that sprinkling makes a man clean. Yeah, do you get that, right? So, you know, some of us teach baptism in different ways, or water baptism, one by immersion, one by sprinkling. You see, that water that is put on a leaf and sprinkled on you, what does it do? The best it does is gets your clothes wet, or it gives your clothes a very discolored or dysfunctional, yeah? It just gives your clothes a very interesting shade, yeah? That water does not do anything, right? Because it is only God that sprinkles water, and that sprinkling of water does something, right? Yeah? So look at how he now explains it in verse 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye will be clean. Now look at verse 26. I will give you a new heart. So a new heart also will I give you. Dear saints, in Bible interpretation, you realize that a lot of things are said, and they are said again and again and again to further explain what was said before. All right? So it says, a new heart also I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. Right? So who is the one that will? I will. God is the one that will. So if he says he will do it, it means he will do it. Yeah? Go all the way to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Wow. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Go all the way to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. right? For all the promises of God. So what Paul is saying is for the I wills of God, I will. So when God said, I will, I will, I will, I will, it's a promise. I will, I will, I will, it's a promise. Yeah. So Paul will now say for all the promises of God into bracket, the I wills of God, right? In him. Who is the him? They go back to verse 19. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me, you can see that I just picked up my pace, okay? Right? So I'm as much as possible, avoid distraction, okay? Right? So for all, verse 19, right? Who was preached among you, that's Jesus Christ, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not ye and nay, but in him was ye. So the him there is Jesus Christ. So 20, we now say, for all the promises of God in him are ye and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. So it is God that does or makes the promise and keeps to his promise. So when he says all the promises of God in him are ye, he's not saying what you are promised January 1st or what you are promised January 2nd. Right? When you see it happens December 31st, yeah? All the promises of God. No, these promises are things that are related to, look at verse 21. Now he which established us with you in Christ Jesus and anointed us is God, who had also sealed us. So the I will seal, I will do has now become a past tense in the resurrection. So the promises of God in Christ are done, right? So if you go back to Ezekiel chapter 36, yeah, go back to Ezekiel 36. So Ezekiel 36 says, a new heart also I will give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. Look at what he's really saying about a new heart. Look at verse 27. And I will. Yeah. So Paul will tell you. So Ezekiel will say, God said, I will. Paul will tell you, for the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen. That means they are done, they are fulfilled. That's the word amen, right? So he says, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk, right? So to bring man out of the heathen in verse 24 will be to sprinkle clean water, one and the same, right? So what is Ezekiel saying? God is saying, I will bring ye out of the heathen. I will sprinkle clean water on you. He's now saying, what I really mean by sprinkle clean water is I will give you a new heart. All right. What I really mean by I will give you a new heart is I will put my spirit within you. Right. I will put my spirit, or before you get to my spirit, a new spirit. Okay. Let's do it again. All right. So Ezekiel is saying, I will take you from among the heathen. That's the first promise. So it's a promise. Now, what that promise can be explained as, I will sprinkle clean water on you, right? What does God mean by I will sprinkle clean water on you? It is, I will give you a new heart. What does God mean by I will give you a new heart? It is, I will give you a new spirit. What does God mean by I will give you a new spirit? It is, I will put my spirit within you. All right. Then Paul will say, if you read Ezekiel, for the promises of God in him, in God, for promises of God rather, in Christ, I yea and amen. All right. So you were going to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 when you diverted a little. Don't forget, you're in John 7. I didn't forget. You're in John 7, by extension, John 3. All right. So if you go all the way to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. Right? So 2 Corinthians 13, 14, it says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that is. Yeah, so I just, so in Bible interpretation, some things will be said first, then will be further explained. Right? So the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that is to say, or I mean to say, the love of God. Right? So Ezekiel 36, out of the love of God, God says, I will bring thee out of heathen. I will sprinkle clean water on you. I will give you a new heart. I will give you a new spirit. And I'll, that is to say, I will put my spirit. What we say about that? That's the promise of God. Paul will say it is fulfilled in Christ, right? Paul will now tell you, oh, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? That is to say, the love of God. I mean the supply, the giving of the spirit. Ezekiel prophesied it. Ezekiel said, I will put my spirit. That means I will give you my spirit. Yeah. So what do you see now? You read from 2 Corinthians and it is done. It is fulfilled. He has done it. Yeah. So you read from 2 Corinthians and it says he is a promise keeper. So when you say God is a promise keeper of the truth, he really is. Right. So if you go back all the way to John, John chapter 7. Yeah. So John chapter 7, right, verse 37. Yeah, John 7, 37. So in the last day, John 7, 37, in the last day, yeah, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. So Jesus stands and says, if any man is thirsty, see, what quenches thirst? Water. So if any man be thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. So it means that Jesus has a water that quenches the thirst of man. So a man that is thirsty, where should he find water to quench his thirst? In Christ Jesus. What is the water? Yeah. If you've been listening to me, yeah, Ezekiel 36, right? In the last 10 minutes, oh wow, 20 minutes here. If you've been listening to me in the last 20 minutes, you would realize that the water of Ezekiel is the Spirit. So if Jesus has a water to give, and Paul will say the grace of our Lord Jesus is the love of God. So out of the love of God, he has something to give. That thing which God has to give is something that quenches the thirst of man. And we say that that thing is the water of God, that is to say, the Spirit of God, right? So if Jesus is saying, if any man should thirst, let him come unto me and drink. It means that what he has to give is something that quenches the thirst, because he doesn't expect that is as a man that is thirsty coming to him, Jesus, you live thirsty or you remain thirsty. Okay, so look at verse 38. Okay, it says, and he that believeth on me, out of the as the scripture had said. So the scripture said something, yeah? Yeah, if you look at Isaiah 55 for our time, right? The scripture said something that he, so Jesus now says, well, the scripture said something. What did the scripture say? Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, right? So is there rivers of, or is there something called rivers of living water that Jesus has to give to a man that is thirsty? Yes. Right? Did the scripture talk about it? Yes. So the same way scripture spoke about out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water is the same way scripture spoke about I will sprinkle clean water on you and I will make you clean. The sprinkling of clean water on you is to make you clean. So when you are clean, it is on account of the fact that you drank the water from the river of living water. Right? So that water makes you clean. That is to say, it quenches your thirst. Okay, so your thirst is quenched because it is a living water. It's a water that supplies life. It's a water that brings life, that produces life. So you were once thirsty, now you've come into Christ Jesus, right? As the promise being fulfilled, that really truly means that you've what? Drank of the Spirit of living God, okay? Okay, well, in case you missed that, go to the next verse. So when the scripture says out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, and we used to teach it in those days that it's out of my belly. I remember very well, there's a particular teaching I did, one of my most solid teachings. Yeah, I connected the water that came from the temple in Ezekiel and connected it to this scripture, and I say it was from my belly that water flows out. Yeah, well, I am sorry to say, but my belly or our bellies as believers is not where the rivers of living water can be found. You as a believer, you have drank of the water from the river of living water. The only thing you can do is to point people to that river. And so when you point them to that river and they drink from that river, and both of you now become siblings. Yeah, brethren. Yeah, listen to what I'm saying. Don't forget you're in Matthew 28. Don't forget you're in the Ephesians 5. Okay? Yeah. So it says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Yeah. So the believer doesn't say, out of my belly shall flow the river. No, it's not your belly. Yeah. How do you know? Read the next verse. Verse 39. But this spake he of the Spirit. You see, consistently. We read Ezekiel. So when Ezekiel spoke about water that makes clean, yeah, really, it's about the Spirit of God, okay? Yeah. So it says, but this spake he of the Spirit. So the water or the rivers of living water that quenches the thirst of a man that was thirsty in verse 37 is the Spirit, okay? It says, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. So how do you drink water or drink water from the belly of Jesus Christ? You drink water by believing. Yeah. So you believe. In believing, you drink. So to believe is to drink, and to drink is to receive the Spirit of God. To receive the Spirit of God is to be taken from the heathen. To be taken from the heathen is to be what? Sprinkled with clean water. To be sprinkled with clean water is to be given what? A new heart. To be given a new heart is to be given a new spirit. To be given a new spirit is to receive the Spirit of God right in you. For the promises of God in Christ are yea and amen. Fulfilled. Done. Hallelujah, to the praise of his glory. Yeah, so he says, but he spake ye of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. So the conversation about quenching the thirst of one who was once thirsty is a conversation of what? Receiving the Spirit of God. So when you think of water that cleanses or that cleans, or that makes a man clean, what do you think of? You think of the Spirit that quenches the thirst of a man. Right? The same thing. So the same water that is sprinkled is the same water. So the sprinkling is the drinking. The drinking is the believing. It's the same thing. Yeah? So it's not a matter of they first sprinkle you, then you come and drink. No. The sprinkling is the giving of the new heart. The giving of the new heart is the giving of the Spirit. The giving of the Spirit is being received by what? Receiving of the love, or receiving of the giving of the Spirit by the resurrection. Right, so let's start closing all the scriptures we've opened, right? So go back to John chapter 3. So when Jesus, hold on. So what was the promise of Jesus or God in Ezekiel 36? When he says, I will take you out of the heathen. The promise really is, I will make you born again. Or you will be born again. Right? So I will take you out of the heathen. It really means I will give you, I'll sprinkle clean water on you. What does it mean to sprinkle clean water on you? We said it is to give you a new heart. What does it mean to give you a new heart? It is to give you a new spirit. What does it mean to give you a new spirit? It is to what? Put his Spirit within you. What exactly is the entirety of that one process? Yeah. See, don't look at it as several processes. It is one process. So what is the summary of that process? It is you are born again. So a man that has been sprinkled with clean water is the same man that has drank from the rivers of the living water flowing from the belly of Jesus Christ, as the scripture said, right? So it means that he is born again. So John chapter 3 now says, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So what will it mean to see the kingdom of God? It will mean to enter the kingdom of God. So to be born again really means to see the kingdom of God, and to see the kingdom of God really means to be born of water and of the Spirit. So let's tackle born of water and of the Spirit, okay? John 3:5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, and was what the and, that is to say, of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So to enter into the kingdom of God is to what? Is to be born again, or is to be born of water, that is to say, Spirit. So look at it this way. To be sprinkled with clean water is equal to be born of water, and is equal to be what? To what? To drink of the water from the river of the living water. And what does that really mean? Verse 3, except a man be born again. Alright, so go back all the way to Matthew's Gospel 28, okay? Matthew's Gospel, or go back all the way to, you know, I took you all through this journey because of Matthew's Gospel 28 and the word baptizing, okay? So look at Mark 16 first. Go back to Mark 16 first. Mark 16, verse 15, right? He says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So when you are preaching the gospel to every creature, what is that? You are going into the world to bring men from the heathen, or take men out of the heathen. Or you are going into the world to show man that God wants to sprinkle them with clean water so that they can be clean. Or to say to man that God wants to give you a new heart. Or to say to man that God wants to give you a new spirit. Or to say to man that God wants to put his Spirit within you. Yeah. So when he says go into the world and preach the gospel, that's what you're preaching. God wants to give you a new heart. God wants to give you a new spirit. God wants to sprinkle water on you so you'll be clean. And God wants to quench your thirst. That is, God wants to give you his Spirit. You following, right? So if you go all the way to verse 16, it says, he that believeth and is baptized. Don't forget, how does a man drink of water, or the man that is thirsty in John 7, how does he drink of the water from the river of the living water? The Bible says, he that believed. right? So he believe. So to believe will mean to drink. Okay. So look at it. Even now says, you know, of all these things, we have seen that when it comes to sprinkling of water, God does it. When it comes to giving water to quench thirst, God does it. All right. So there's really no need to put a man into water, because when it comes to water, it is God that does something with man to water or with water. So a man that is dipped in a water bath, or a man that is dipped in a river, well, you know, people say it's an open proclamation of, well, it's really, really so much. It's not so much. How do I say that without sounding the word? Well, skip that. Okay. Right. So you don't need to put yourself inside water, right, for any reason as a believer. Why? Because when you think of water, think of what does God do with water. God actually sprinkles his water on you. And the sprinkling of water has nothing to do with H2O, but everything to do with what? His spirit. Are we together? Right? So, dipping people into water, bringing them out, right, before you become a member, or before you become a worker, or before you become a pastor, well, it's just a way of taking time or taking the attention of man away from where man's attention ought to be. Yeah? Yeah? You know, and you really know I said that in a polished way, okay? So, he says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We just really said, if you are cleansed, if you are, if you drank water and you've quenched your thirst, you are one who is born again. To be born again means to be saved. So Jesus is not teaching in Mark 16:16 that he that believes, you believe in your heart, then you are baptized in water. No, that's not what he's teaching. Yeah, that's what he's teaching, right? To believe here in verse 16 will be to be baptized. That is to be in association, to be indoctrinated, right? To be brought forth and to be brought into. Okay, yeah, go back to Matthew 28. That's not what I want to touch today. Matthew 28, okay? Matthew 28, right? Verse 19. So, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So, it means that this baptizing here will have nothing to do with water. Nothing to do with water, right? So, what is Jesus primarily teaching in verse 19 and 20? You see a word that is repeated in with two shades, between two verses. What is the first word? It says, go ye into the world and teach. Then verse 20, Church of Bibles, 20 now says, teaching them to observe. So it means that you cannot explain baptizing in the middle of the two teachings to mean dip people into water, bring them out, they catch their breath. But no, that's a waste of time, okay? Yeah, so that's not what we are asked to do in scriptures, right? We are to teach. So the time we will use to take people to river, the time we will use to go and book the river, the time you will use to buy back that will handle human beings' pressure and weight, yeah? Use that time to, it says, teaching them. That is, make people disciples, yeah? Make people disciples. So upon being saved, you are enrolled as a disciple. Yeah, you are enrolled as a disciple. There is nothing about so now in this context, an outward show of inward reality will come with conduct, will come with lifestyle, will come with being discipled and discipling others. You understand? So we're in a world right now where people say the outward show of their salvation is that they snap with them being dipped into water and they print the picture and put in their living room. Well, that's good, but that putting in the water had nothing to do with your salvation, right? A man doesn't get, nothing is added. The best you did was you took a shower in the midst of people. Or let me say it differently, like I would usually say in the year, back in the days, I'll say, it's the best you did or you do or you did in being dipped into water is that you had your bath with your clothes on. Yeah, nothing is done with that. Yeah, so Jesus will say, teaching them to observe. Now, if you pay attention to what we've been teaching in the last 2-3 weeks, we said something about how there is no instruction to start local churches in Matthew's Gospel 28. However, because of the assignment that is given, because of what is expected, there is going to be need for local gatherings. I'll explain local gatherings to be the gathering of people within a locality, right, and being taught and being discipled. You see, if God wants the entire earth to be saved, right, 10 people really will need to disciple more 10 people, and those 10 people will disciple more 10 people just so that everybody will be discipled to disciple others. Right? Think about it this way. Why is it not, why don't we have the 12 disciples and apostles of Jesus Christ? Why don't we have them as the ones who preach to you? Yeah, because it is God's will that men are saved and he will do you through men. So men ought to be discipled so that they can disciple others, so that the people that are being discipled can disciple others as well, to disciple others, so that others can be discipled under the discipleship of the people that are discipled. You get the point? Yeah, so very important to take note of that. So it says, go into the world and teach the gospel. Teach the gospel. Now go back all the way to, or before you go to Ephesians, go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, this one. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. It says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayer, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Okay? Right? So supplications, prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. It says, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Now look at verse 3 carefully. That's what I'm heading to for today's teaching. He says, for this is good and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So what is good? Praying, right? Supplicating, interceding, giving of thanks. He says, for this is good, right? And acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will. So who is the who will? Who will have all men to be saved? Is God our Savior in verse 3. So God our Savior in verse 3 will have. That means he wants all men to be saved. And to what? And to come unto the knowledge of the truth, right? So there's the all men need to be saved and to come. And to come, don't forget, Matthew's gospel, go ye into the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of Father, right? We said to teach them means to bring men into knowledge, yeah? To bring men into steadfast and sound doctrine, right? To indoctrinate people. That's why it says teaching them to observe the things I have commanded, yeah? Things I have commanded will mean the things I have given you charge regarding, or the charges or the instructions I have given you, or the teachings I have given you. So, what is God's will? God's will is that all men are saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. What is God? So, any day you wake a believer and you ask a believer, what is the will of God? Paul tells you, well, it is God's will that all men are saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Every single day, that will is still the will of God. So God wants all men to be saved. So if you wake up from your, see, in your dream, you should be asked that question, what is the will of the Father? In your dream, your answer should be, God wants all men to be saved. Not God wants to destroy those that try to torment his children. No. Sometimes those that torment God's children are God's children. Sometimes it is God's children who torment other God's children. Are we together? Yeah? So what is God's will? That all men are saved and come to the knowledge of truth. That all men are saved. So it means after being saved, what is the next most important thing to a man that is saved? Knowledge. Right? Knowledge is the most important. So in getting knowledge, what will that require? It requires you are being taught. It requires you are being discipled. So where will be the fundamental place you will be discipled? Under the local gatherings. Are you listening? So if the will of the Father or will of God is that men are saved and come to the knowledge of truth, I would say knowledge will be gotten by being discipled. I would say being discipled will be gotten by being in attendance or being trained within a local gathering. Then we say that the local gathering is the local church. Then it means that the local church is the will of the Father. Are we together? So the local church is the will of God. 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 For the local church is the place around your locality where you will attempt to be discipled. Yeah? Yeah, that's the will of God. So is it God's will for a man to be saved? Yes. Is it God's will for a man to come to knowledge? Yes. Is it God's will that a man is discipled? Yes. Is it God's will that a man is discipled by another man? Oh, yes. Okay. Go to 1 Timothy. Go all the way to chapter 4. Chapter 2, sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm sorry. 2 Timothy 2, 2. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. See what it says? It says, thou therefore, verse 1, my son. So Paul is talking to a spiritual child, all right, a spiritual son. So Paul says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou unto faithful men. Okay, stop. How did Paul learn those things? He learned them from men. How will Timothy learn what Timothy knew? Timothy will learn them from men. What will Timothy do with the knowledge he learns from men? It is to also carry that knowledge and find another to be discipled. So Timothy will be a recipient of the teachings of Paul. Now Timothy, because he's obeying the scriptures, Matthew 28, go into the world and teach, that is, make disciples of all nations, right? Yeah, so Timothy, in obedience to that, will definitely have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, up until X number of people that he would approach with the message of the love. What is Timothy first approaching man with? Timothy is approaching man with, God wants to sprinkle clean water on you so that you'll be clean. Timothy is approaching man with, God wants to give you a new heart. Timothy is approaching man with, God wants to put his spirit within you. Timothy is approaching man with, you know you are thirsty, you might not know, but you need water to drink. Yeah? Christ is the one that supplies his spirit. So that's Timothy's first teaching. Then when a man says, oh, Timothy has supplied water by pointing me to the resurrection, what would Timothy now do? Now, you need to now understand what you've been saved into. Yeah? So Paul will tell Timothy, yeah, in obeying the instruction of our Lord and Savior, yeah, teach all nations. He says, the things you've heard of me, commit to other men who shall teach others also. Look at that again, 2 Timothy 2, 2. He says, the things that thou hast heard of me amongst many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Yeah, so it means that you can be saved. Being saved doesn't make you a faithful man able to teach others also. Altogether. So to be a faithful man, what will need to happen? You need to pay attention to what is being taught, or you need to pay attention to being taught. So in paying attention to being taught, you now become a faithful man who can now what? Teach others also. So what is God's will? Second, go back to where we were before. God's will. God's will is that all men are saved and come to the knowledge of truth. So Jesus will say, go and train people in that knowledge. Go and give people the training of that spirit. Give them the doctrine that is needed for them to be updated in knowledge. Yeah. So how would Timothy do that? Because Timothy has 1, 2, 3, up until X number of people. If they are within his locality, what will he do? Timothy will now start having local gatherings. So Timothy will say, oh, let's meet in this house on this day or at this time. Yeah, that's a local gathering. Yeah, local gathering. Gathering that is local. That is gathering that is within a locality. What really is that? It is going to be the local church. Yeah, so hold on. Yeah, can a local church be found in the house of another? Oh, yes, there is. Yeah, there can be. I'm going to show you that this afternoon. Right. So local church does not mean, or does not, see, what makes a local church is not the fact that it has a building with a cross on the top. No. What makes a local church is not that it is a hotel room. No. What makes a local church? What makes a local church is the fact that people of the same inheritance are gathered in a place within a locality. Right? So there's the universal body of Christ, right? That is the universal church, and there's a local church. So we would have local churches in different places. So what is happening in each local center? Or I've given another word again. Yeah. So what is happening in each local gathering? We are emphasizing to the people that are gathered, it is God's will that all men are saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Yeah. So we now teach them the knowledge of truth. We now teach them about the knowledge. You see, Peter will say in 1 Peter, 2 Peter, you say, grow in grace, that is in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. So we now say, you need to grow in grace. How do you grow in grace? 2 Peter 3:18, right? He will say, grow in grace. And what it really means is grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Right? So a local church will fundamentally aid or aim to make sure that you are growing. Are we together? Right? So it is because we don't understand these things. That is why people pick local churches based on where you can play 10-10. You know what 10-10 is? Yeah, that's a Latin game that usually played in Greece. Yeah, so you know, it's because of the lack of this understanding that people choose local churches based on things that are comfortable. Oh, I like the way they smile there. I like, now those things are good, important. I like the community. Well, it's important because the Christian faith is about community. However, you must understand that in your, you see, people can gather together as a community and their emphasis are not what that community should be emphasizing about. Do you understand? You see, if you go for a gathering or a council meeting, or you go to a House of Rep meeting, or you go to a Member of Parliament meeting and gathering, you see, in that gathering, that is not where to be indoctrinating people. Yeah, if you have the opportunity to do it, fine, good. Yeah, but you see, we don't defeat the purpose of that gathering. Yeah, we focus on why we are there. Yeah, so if the local church is a gathering of saints who have received the Spirit of God, what do? We focus on the Spirit. We focus on the Spirit. We focus on the Spirit. So focusing on the Spirit by default will mean that we'll focus on knowledge, because it is God's will that all men are saved and come to knowledge of His truth. Let me tell you something for free, dear saints. I am not sent to the world. I cannot reach the world. It's not possible. I cannot reach the world. So why do we have a local church? You see, I want you to admit in this coming year that there are people you will be able to speak to. I might never in my life have the opportunity or privilege to come a mile close to them, or 10 meters away from them. Yeah, because that is life. How many people do I really want to get in contact with? Are we together? Yeah, so you are in a local church, right? As in obedience to the Father, being trained. See, your training doesn't end with going to the streets to share coffee. Your training doesn't end with going to the street to share sandwich. No, it's part of all of those things. Yeah, more fundamentally on the street is not coffee. Fundamentally on the street is not sandwich. Yeah, it's not bacon sandwich. No, fundamentally on the street is the bread of heaven that needs to be given. So it means that if you go to the street and you go with physical bread and you don't go with spiritual bread, and you say you're a local gathering, you've not fulfilled the scriptures. No, you've not. If physical bread should come in at any point, if sharing of drink should come in at a point, it is following the fact that you supply the supernatural spiritual drink to them, a man that is once thirsty. So you will find people who are physically thirsty and spiritually thirsty. Based on being a believer, the most important for you first. Are we together? Look at it though. When Jesus fed the 5,000 people, he didn't supply food to them first and say, yeah, come and listen to the word. No, that's not what he did. Right? He taught the word. He saw the need. Compassion came. He saw, these guys have been listening to me for a while. These guys actually would have lost energy. These guys will need something to re-energize their body. It's human. Yeah, so Jesus did not start multiplying bread to attract people. No, we don't multiply bread to attract people. That's not what Jesus did. It is when he taught. That's why you notice when he taught and he finished teaching and he multiplied bread, there was leftover. Yes, we saw that was abundance. However, how many people eventually stayed with him from that point to the teaching in Acts chapter 1 when he taught for 40 days? How many? Yeah. You get that, right? So, in going to the street or in going to your workplace, right? So, you have colleagues, you have people who you are working with, you have people who I will never see. Yeah, so you are a member of a local church, right? To reach out to people in their numbers, right? So you can reach out to people in their numbers, which you should, and in reaching out to people in their numbers are increasing. then you as their disciple can gather them together and train them in the word. And in training them in the word, you are discipling them. You are bringing them up to speed with knowledge. Then what now happens? The overall goal is we are all now being taught the word as a local church. So they're in your local gathering to come into another local gathering so that they are now well taught. Because you know, don't forget, you are being fed to feed others. Right? So you can bring the people you are feeding into where you are being fed. Then when you are all being fed, the entire goal is that everyone being fed, and even he who is feeding, must also know that he must go out into the world and what? Fulfill the will of the Father. For God's will is that all men are saved and come to the knowledge of his truth. All together. So we are brought into the kingdom of God. We've come into his life. We've come into his word. Then what now happens? The Bible says, go into the world and teach and teach and teach all nations. Are we together? Yeah. So now, there's something important that needs to be said. What should be the attitude of the people within a local gathering? Look at Philippians 2. Remember? Let me try to copy it too. Remember? No instruction states go into the world and go and be opening different branches. No. However, there will be a need for branches to be opened on account of people obeying the instruction. So we said that when man is taught and man is being discipled and he disciples others, in doing that, there will be a need for a local center, a local gathering, a local fellowship, which you call the local church. Right? And in that happening, what really happens, or what really is happening, we are obeying the will of the Father in that God wants all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of his truth. So the attitude of the believer must be in alignment with the will of the Father. Did you get that? I'm going to say that again. The attitude of the believer must be in alignment with the will of the Father. Let me say that one more time again. The attitude of the believer must be in alignment with the Father. So it means that now, one of the things that you know you would actually get yourself involved with is learning when you are in the local assembly. Much more than that is actually what? Being influenced. Yes, being influenced. You know that there's none of you listening to me, including me, who is not influenced one way or the other by something someone else. You know, I used to give this example of, you know, when someone is saying, there's a scripture in 1 John that says, for you need no other man to teach you, right? For the anointing of God, which is you, can teach you all things. You know, you have a brand, you have someone who is saying something like, the Bible says we don't need any man to teach us. We have the Holy Spirit in us, that the Holy Spirit teaches us all things. Yeah, you see, that thing that is being said, that person heard it from somewhere. It wasn't from the Spirit, he heard it from somewhere. He heard it somewhere, or he heard something of that variant somewhere, or he heard something opposite to that and came up with that, but he was influenced by the variants of that which he or she heard. So the local church is a place where we copy and paste, or we see examples to copy. Yeah. So now, is there anything wrong in copying? Look at Paul. 1 Corinthians 11. 11. You see, in our world today, motivation is good. Motivation is good. In fact, I mean, today I read a motivational book. You know, so it's good to get yourself motivated and all of those things. Yeah, but you know, you need to be able to know where the line of motivation stops. You know, you need to be able to learn. You know, there's this notion of that is propagated by the world right now of selfish love. Selfish love. And you know, I've told you over time that the concept of selfish love is not a Bible concept. Selfish love is not a Bible concept. Now, also, that concept of uniqueness, in that you want to sound, say the things you say, and only you say, well, it's not a Bible thing. Now, look at Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And the world just keeps propagating selfishness. The world just keeps propagating selfishness. You know, I recently, a couple hours or week or days ago, I started seeing the trending conversation around do not this coming year you will not agree for anybody. That means you will not accept. Well, and underneath that tone, yeah, if you make that your most pronounced statement this year, You will end this year being a totally, fully selfish person. Well, anyways, I don't want to touch that today. Look at 1 Corinthians 11. It says, be ye followers of me. Paul said it with his mouth, okay, with his writing. Yeah, Paul says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Even as I also am of Christ. So Paul says, be ye followers. That's the word there, to mimic, to imitate. Are we together? So it means that the only reason why we have diversities of doctrine to a very vast extent in our world is really because there has been that sense of uniqueness that people have had over the years, where people, they hear certain things, but they don't understand fully, but they merge it together with an ideology of the world and make it their truth. So that's why in our world, you start having people saying, I have my truth, my truth. Nobody will stop me from saying my truth, my truth. You see, people's my truth is not always the truth. How it together, yeah? So it means that there needs to be an attitude of a believer. There needs to be an attitude of a saint, because there is something called the local gathering. You see, you know, there are some things you begin to say, and it's on account of the place you find yourself. You see, if you are somebody who insults a lot, I can tell you for free, I know, supernaturally, spiritually, I know how you got it. You got it by the influence you allowed around yourself. Let me not say aloud, but the influence around you, or the people who could influence around you. All together. You see, we are all products of influence. That's just what it is. We are all products of influence. That is what it is. It is what it is. Yeah? We are all products. So when we see, in seeing, there are things we copy subconsciously and consciously. And there are some things we see, and in seeing them, we decide not to copy. All together. So in this coming year, you're going to decide deliberately to copy aright and copy well. Well, I'll show you some examples. Look at Philippians, where you were really going to the other time. Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Look at verse 2. Philippians 2, 2. It says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. So is there such a thing as like-mindedness in local church? Remember I've told you, the majority of the letters that were written by the apostles were written to local churches, right? And all local churches in mind. Yeah? Romans, Galatians, Corinthians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, even Timothy, you know, and the other scriptures that you have, Galatians there. So they were written with local churches in mind. So this one to Philippians. And Paul says, fulfill in my joy that ye be like-minded. Their sins is, let me say it differently. Should the church or a local gathering be like-minded? Yes. Yeah. That's Paul's instruction to the Philippians. By extension, we can learn from that. Are we together? So there's such a thing called like-mindedness. There's such a thing called like-mindedness. Look at the next word it says, or next statement it says, having the same love, being of one accord. So can a local church, everybody in that local church, can everybody be in one accord? Yes. Should everybody be in one accord? Yes. A local church is a place where people of one accord, with one accord, one purpose, one love, like-mindedness, gather and fellowship together. That's what it should be in the ideal. All together. Now, don't you think that Paul bringing of people in a local church, Paul knew that. And that is why you see the same Paul will tell you in Romans chapter 12. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, there are some things that you've grown up learning and seeing that you ought to, you have to reveal your mind. You know, I say things like this, for instance, yeah? You know, there's some people, you ask some people, you know, you can be in the church gathering, right? For instance, and people are maybe praying and lifting up their hands, and you just see one brother or one sister folding their hands and putting their hands in their pocket, and, you know, just, you know, chewing gum and just, you know, we are grateful, you know, for all you have done for, you know. No, you know how that person got there? No, they didn't get it from birth. No, they saw it somewhere. They saw it somewhere. You see that practice of going to local church and the gathering of saints, and you are videoing. So people fall under the anointing and ask their friends to video them. You see that practice? They saw it somewhere. That is why one of the things you're going to do for yourself this year is to guard your heart as much as possible. You're going to guard your heart intentionally, deliberately. Yeah? And that is why your choices are very important. So you can go to a church, you see an example of someone who comes to church every day at 9. And you see an example of someone who comes to church every day at 11:30. Well, it's up to you to make a choice on who you want to be like. Right? Anyways, so look at what Paul says. He says, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Now, these people that Paul is talking to, are they the people who have been sprinkled with clean water? Yes, they all have a new heart. Yes. That is, they have the Spirit of God in them. Yes. And what are they now doing on account of being members of the local church or being the Philippians of the church in Philippi? It is that they are now being discipled. And Paul now says, in your discipleship, have a sense of like-mindedness or have a sense of the same love and one accord. All together. So, just like you know, in both churches, Nigeria, the UK, in the first 1-2 months, we're going to pay attention to what or how do we behave ourselves? How do we behave ourselves? Go on with the first Timothy. Go all the way to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. We use the scripture a lot in the series on the doctrine of praise. 1 Timothy chapter 3, go all the way to verse 14. It says, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. Look at verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. That thou mayest know how to behave. So it means there's a way to behave yourself in the gathering or in the local gathering, not the local church. Altogether. There are things you ought to do. So it means that there are things you do, and in doing them, you are an example for others. Do you understand? Right? You see, I can use an example of a brother or a sister and say, oh, you usually come, you see that sister, he usually comes, right, around 11:15. And that brother usually comes at 9:15 or comes at 9 o'clock. Yeah? You see, in your actions and inactions, there are examples that have been copied. So Paul will say that thou mayest know how to what? Behave. That means, what is the mindset you need to have as a saint? Go back to Ephesians chapter 5, where we really are this evening. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Go all the way to verse 15. So Paul will say, see then that ye walk circumspectly. See then that ye walk circumspectly. Now that word, let's try and analyze those words a little today. That word circumspectly is a word that actually means entails being diligent. Yeah, it can be used to, you know, it can be used to say, see then that you. So no matter what we do, we must have his will in view. There is a way to walk diligently. What would that be in regards to? Look at verse 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand the will of the Lord. So to be wise is to understand the will of the Lord and have the will of the Lord always in view. Do you understand? So what is the will of God, of the Lord? We read, that's what we've explained about the last few minutes, yeah? What have we said? We said that the will of the God, of the Lord, is that men are saved, that is, men are sprinkled with clean water, that is, men are given new hearts, that is, God put the Spirit within man, that is, man's thirst is quenched by the Spirit of God, right? And come into the knowledge, right? In coming into the knowledge, it means men are being discipled. In being discipled, it means men are part of local gatherings. In being part of local gatherings is that you are being discipled so you can disciple others. So Paul will say, wherefore be ye not wise, but understand that what the will of the Lord is. So what is the will of the Lord? That all men are saved. If you wake up from a dream or from a sleep and you are about to sleep, what is the will of God? That all men are saved. Now, let me say this. You see, God doesn't call people to be doctors. No. Right? And this thing I'm saying very casually here has made people go back 20 years in their lives to pursue things they did not need to pursue. Yeah? I'm called into... No. You see, why did I end up studying engineering, for instance, in my first degree? Well, majority of what I saw as an example when growing up are examples of people who were wearing helmets or they were what in the engineering world. Are we together? Right? I feel like it would have been strange if I said I didn't become an actor. Yeah, because I didn't have actors around me while growing up. Yeah, do you understand? Or I didn't watch so much movies while growing up. Do you get that? Right? So, in the real sense, we are all impressionable. That means we are influenced one way or the other. So, but regardless of whatever it is you are influenced by, you must always remember that the will of the Lord is that all men are saved. So, what is the will of the Lord for your life? It's simple. That you are saved and come to the knowledge. In coming to the knowledge, you will see that you need to disciple others. Yeah? God does not call people to be doctors. God does not choose engineers. No. Yep. You can decide to be a doctor. Yeah. So when you look at it, when you write an exam and you're the highest scorer or you score the highest mark in that exam, and it's an exam for ICANN, let's say MCFA or a financial exam or something like that, right? That you score the highest mark in that exam doesn't mean you're in alignment with God's will. No. What is God's will? That wrong men are saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So there are lots of people who think they are in God's will, but they are totally out of God's will. What is God's will? That wrong men are saved. That you are being taught the word, and in being taught the word, you see the need to disciple others. That's the will of the Father. Every day. So if you are asked, what is the will, what is God's will for your life this year? It's not to buy a car. No. Yeah? Else, you are safe to say that God's will for some people is for them to be poor. All together, yeah. And you are safe to say that God's will for some people is that you see, troublesome, right? You see, sometimes we just use very cliche words of conversation, and it's okay. Well, you know, you hear people say things like, by the grace of God, this year I want to buy a car. By the grace of God. Well. We've talked a lot about the grace of God, right? Good cliche words to use. But you must understand, what exactly does the grace of God enable you to do? What exactly does the grace of God, the will of the Father, what exactly it is it for your life? What is God's plan for your life? What is God's plan and purpose for your life? The purpose of God for your life is not to be a doctor, is not to be an engineer, is not to be somebody that is into the pharmaceutical world, is not to be a plumber, is not to be a civil engineer. No. The will of the Father for you listening to me today is that you are saved and you come, you grow in the knowledge of His word, of His work. Yeah, the will of God for you, for your life, on account of being saved, is linked to what? The account of the resurrection. Anyways, let's not go there. Right? So he said, oh, we're going there already. Yeah? But understand what the will of the Lord is. That means you need to always remember and put God's will in view. Are we together? Right? You want to travel. You want to relocate. You want to change your kind of house you live in, really? Yeah? Is it good? Yeah, you need to think about kind of house you live in. Yeah? Because you don't want to go start. Yeah? Anyways. Yeah? But what should be forefront of your mind? What is the will of God for you? What is the will of God for your life? What exactly? How are you going to keep up with the local church? How are you going to keep up with the concept of growing and growing in knowledge of our Lord and Savior? How are you going to keep up with discipling others? So what is the will of God for your life this year? The will of God for your life this year was the same will of God for your life last year if you were a believer. And the same will of God for your life all through the years you've been born again. Right? That it's revolving around the Spirit of God that He has put in you via the resurrection. Together. So His will is that men are saved. So look at Ephesians 5 again. It says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will, that means you prioritize, you put at the forefront what the will of the Lord is. Look at verse 18. Yeah, no, I'm not going to verse 18. Look at verse 16. It says, look at verse 15. It says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, that is, with so much diligence. So it means a sense of diligence comes with putting or having a right understanding of the will of the Lord or what the will of the Lord is. Okay? So see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So one who doesn't walk circumspectly is one that is a fool. Who is the one that is a fool? Is the one that is unwise, that is not understand or does not understand or does not prioritize what the will of the Lord is. All right? So look at Ephesians 5:15 again. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. What does that entail? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now let's take a little word or explanation around that. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, the word they're redeeming in the Greek is the word exagorazo. I'll spell that for you, exagorazo. Exagorazo. Hopefully that's correct. Yeah. Exagorazo. Yeah. I'm still learning how to speak English. Okay. Yeah. So, and that word actually is a word that means to, by payment, recover from the power of another. That's what redeeming, right? By payment, it means by payment, you recover from the power of another. To buy up something, right? To make wise and sacred use, right? Yeah, so that's what redeeming, right? To take advantage, that's what they're redeeming the time. It means to take advantage, to make wise use of every opportunity for doing good. That's what it's teaching there. So what it says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Why are you to redeem the time? Because these are evil. Okay, stop there. You see, that word there, evil, a lot of times in Bible interpretation, when the Bible is called, or when the word evil is used, all it really means, it doesn't always mean that, you know, you are devilish or satanic. Yeah, you know that scripture where it says that in Matthew 7, ask it to be given, if ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Same thing in Luke 11, it says, you, if ye then being evil. That word there, let me show you, go to Luke. Go to Matthew 7:7. Let's read Matthew 7:7. Ask, it shall be given unto you. Seek, you shall find. Knock, the door shall be opened unto you. Yeah? Look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7. Go all the way to Matthew 7, verse 7. Look at Matthew 7:7. It says, ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and ye shall find, knock it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son should ask for bread, will give him a stone? Right? Or if he should ask for fish, will give him a serpent? If ye then being evil, that's what I took you there to say. If ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Right? Look at Luke 11. So a lot of us use that scripture to teach that because your Father will give you food, God in heaven will give you much more food. That's what it's teaching. Look at Luke 11. He says, if ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much will your Father which in heaven give good gifts? Look at how Luke 11 explains that narrative or that passage. Luke chapter 11, go all the way to verse 9. And I say unto you, ask it shall be given. Same narrative. Ask shall be given, seek you shall find, knock the door shall be opened. He says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will you give him stone? Or if he ask of a fish, will you give him fish, you give him serpent? If he should ask for egg, will you give him scorpion? Look at verse 13. He says, if ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall the heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So Matthew 7 will say, how much does the Heavenly Father give good gifts? Yeah, but that good gift is the Holy Spirit according to Luke. Yeah, he's not saying that anything you, I feel like for you to be able to listen to what I'm saying and understand what I'm saying, you are old enough to know that it's not everything you ask for. Let's assume that asking is prayer. It's not everything you've asked for, you wish for, that you have ever gotten or will you ever get. Do you understand? So it's not saying that, ask you shall be given, seek you shall find, anything you ask God. You see, grace is the hand by which God supplies. Faith is the hand by which we receive that which we ask. So we ask in faith. And how do you build the faith? For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? No. I taught you, faith comes by hearing is around the concept of salvation. Okay, yeah, so ask it shall be given unto you. Yeah, it's not teaching about ask for anything. The same way James 4 will tell you, ask and you receive not because ye ask amiss. And to ask amiss has nothing to do with prayer. Yeah, so let me not digress with that. So Jesus says, if ye then being evil, now that word there, evil, is the word that means unstable, unpredictable. Right? So it's not saying that man is devilish evil. No, that's not what he's teaching. He's saying that man is unstable. Man is unpredictable. Do you get that? So man is unstable. Man is unpredictable. Man is unstable. Man is unpredictable. So it means that the most constant thing about man is that he is not constant. So man is not, man varies. Right? Man, so when he says, If you then being evil, that means if you then being unstable, unpredictable, know that to give good things. Good things. Yeah. So go to Ephesians 5, where you are. Ephesians 5:17. Are you there? Go all the way to Ephesians 5:17. It says, verse 16, redeeming the time. What does it mean to redeem? To buy up, to take advantage, right? To deliberately and intentionally take advantage. How do you know that God is thinking about? He says, walk circumspectly. So to walk circumspectly will mean to take advantage of time. Why are you taking advantage of time? Because the days are evil. What is the word evil? The days are unstable. You can't predict the days. Did you get that? Let me tell you something. It's just fact. Not everybody that started 2023 ended 2023. Why? Because the days are evil. Yeah. What if the days are evil? The days are really unpredictable. The days are really unstable. Man in itself or man in himself is unstable. Are we together? And as long as... So, what makes days evil? It is man in the day. Are we together? As long as man remains in this world, evil will always remain. And that's why, you know, it's very funny when we see people, you know, teach about, you know, the concept of, you know, the evil in this world is getting gross. And, you know, Jesus should just quickly come so that evil will stop. In this world, though... As long as man remains, are we together? As long as man remains on the earth, evil will remain on the earth. Why? Because man is variable. Man is inconsistent. Man is not constant. Are we together? Right? So the one of the most constant things on the earth is that man is not as constant as man thinks. Are we together? Or man is not as predictable as man thinks. You know, men shock you. Men have shocked me. Yeah? And men will still shock me. Why are men shocking? So if men shock me more yet in the coming days, what will I call that? The days are evil in that man, right? Man is in existence. Yeah, you know, and that's why I say this kind of things. So the world, for instance, will not be destroyed because of evil. No, evil will always remain. Are we together? That is why what did Jesus give? Jesus gave forgiveness of sin. What is forgiveness of sin? It's not a half emotion of forgetting or trying to pardon something. No, it is a separation, a deliverance, a taking out. So your sins are forgiven doesn't mean that God had an emotional or God was emotionally angry at the point and he forgave. No, don't think about it from a man's perspective. That's the perspective of the unpredictable or the inconsistency that is found in man. Forgiveness of sin is a separation of man from his sin and the bondage of sin and its repercussion. All together. So evil will always remain. They're saying, I'm saying it today to you. Yeah, evil will always remain on the earth because man is on the earth. Are we together? Right? So can we be rescued from evil? Oh, yes. Now think about it. How did the apostles, the chief apostles, the ones that laid down the foundation, Paul will say, building on the foundation of the apostles, with Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, Ephesians, right? Four, right? So what exactly is how exactly did the apostles die? Yeah. In fact, let's not go far. How did Jesus die? Jesus died. Let me say it differently. Why did Jesus die? Jesus died because the days are evil. Why were the days evil? Because men, in their inconsistency, existed in each of those days. So why did Jesus die? Jesus died in the real sense, and in his death, the death of Jesus reveals the evil that is found in the day of man. So it says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Because, what does it mean to redeem? To take advantage. They're saying, this coming year, you're going to take advantage of the time. You see, today is 3rd of January. Some of you said, this year, I'll pray 30 minutes every day. The days are evil, I'm laughing at you. Yeah? What? So, look at it. You see, you will not always have the free time to pray 30 minutes every day. But you will need to walk circumspectly and redeem the time. Yeah, you need to do that. You need to do that. Yeah, you need to do that. You need to do that. Yeah, so for instance, if you are one who you've never prayed in your life outside of the church gathering, yeah, this scripture is saying, redeem the time because these are evil. So, in redeeming the time, what is in your mind? Look at verse 17. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. You see, you have friends around you who you are supposed to have preached the gospel to years ago, right? Months ago, weeks ago, right? The reason why you think that, you see, if you were played, if a screen was played in front of you, of the number of days that people have in their lives, or if the numbers of days that people had to live on this earth were written on their forehead, would you take preaching the gospel more seriously? Would you take understanding the will of the Father more seriously? See, a lot of times, we have people that we come across to and we don't preach to. And the reason why we don't do that or we don't disciple as we ought to is because we think we still have 70 more years to live. Dear saints, it is just the way life is. The days are unstable. What do? Look for every opportunity to prioritize those things around the will of the Father. Every opportunity. Let me tell you something. You see, work will not finish. Yeah? Why don't you attend midweek service? Why don't you come to church early? They ask me to do. It will never finish. Yeah? Paul says, be wise. Don't be a fool. Paul. Paul. For Paul to say, don't be a fool. He says, see then that you walk circumspectly. He says, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Now, that word, the time, is the word kairos. Now, that word, the time, in the Greek, is the word kairos. Now, it's a word that is used to speak about a measure of time or an opportunity, yeah, or a season. Let me tell you something. There are men who have died and gone to hell because you've delayed in preaching the gospel to them. Now, I'm not talking to you alone personally. All of us as Christians. For we all as Christians always pass or always walk through or always walk beside men who are not saved. Are we together? That kairos moment, that season, that measure of time, you might never get it again. You see something? You see, that word kairos is a word that can be used for, you know, something that can happen once in a lifetime. Once in, you know, you can never be 50 years old two times in your life. No. Yeah? You can never be 15 years old twice in your life. You cannot, no matter how much. Yeah? The days are evil. Unpredictable. So it is their opportunities. Right? Eh? You see? You know, I gave an utterance just sometime during the middle of last month. Right? And I said something. I said, there are things you would have made up your mind to do in this coming year. Start doing them from that moment. Last year. See, this calendar, this new year, new me. Sometimes it's funny. Yeah? What we call new year, new me? Well, if what you are seeing a new year as is an opportunity to redeem the time, happy are you or good for you? You know, but I realize that a lot of times, what we just do a lot of times is we count days. Some of us, every other thing, so I've never asked the question. When things go south for us in our lives, why is the first thing that suffers for it? Things around salvation. Local church, discipleship, being discipled, attending service. Why does that suffer for it first? Why is it that when things go south, the first thing you will do, or when you think you need more time for something else, or you have more time for work, why do you think your prayer time should reduce? Yeah? Paul will say, redeeming the time, redeeming the kairos. That means that season and measure of time, that moment, in the moment, at that time. Sometimes a lot of us are waiting for the right time. Yeah, Paul is saying, redeem the time, the days are evil. Redeem the time, the days are evil. Redeem the time. See, for you see, you are not even sure of who you will see again in the next 10 years. You are not even sure of who you will see again in the next 10 months. Now, that is not to put fear in your heart on people who just disappear around you. That's not the goal. Yeah? Paul knew this. Paul knew there was a time in his life he would cease breathing. Let me ask you a question. Why do you think they wriggled? Or you didn't think that they knew that the end of the world would still, you know, that the world, you see, they have two approaches to doing the things of ministry. Let me see what I want to say this way. Every believer has two approaches of doing two ways they can possibly do ministry. One of them is, the year just started. I said I want to win 50 souls this year. The year just started. If I cannot do between the first 2 weeks, I'll cover it up in February. Paul says, redeem the time, the days are evil. Yeah. Let that be re-echoing in your mind throughout this year. Redeem the time, the days are evil. Redeem the time, the days are evil. And I'll pray 30 minutes. You see, then you should have a culture of prayer such that, for instance, it's not when things go south because of the evil days that you start fasting and praying cumulatively. No, no, no. Paul will say, redeem the time, for the days are evil. Right? Redeem the time. That means take hold of every given time, every given space, every given opportunity. You see, this instruction is to both me as a pastor and you as a saint. Are we together? Right? You see, I have friends around me who, when I feel like I'm not doing as much as I need to as a discipler to others, as outreaches and so on, I have friends who stir my faith up. And I have friends who I know that if I keep looking at them, I will feel like I'm a God in the things of the spirit. Because I say, after all, I'm praying more than... Yeah, you too, you have those kind of friends. You have friends around you who are praying 1 hour every day. You said you will pray 5 minutes every day. You've not done it for 3 days. January 3rd is already here, right? And maybe you now do this evening after I finish. Tomorrow, you don't do it again. Friday, I say, well, after all, I've done it more than that. I know that brother, I can tell you for free. I know he doesn't pray. At least I'm better than him. Paul says within the time. Redeem the time, the days are evil, right? You see another example to follow, we brought in 1 hour. Yeah, that should spoil you and say, oh, well, maybe I can't do 1 hour now, but my goal is I want to do 1 hour at the end of the year. Yeah, that should spoil you. Yeah, so every given time you give yourself to prayer, every given time you give yourself to reading the word, every given time you think about what is the will of the Father, right? You see, we don't always have the time to waste. Altogether, we don't have the time to wait. The reason why we waste time on certain conversations is because we think time is in our hands. Right? And this also, if you take this approach to your ministry, and take this approach to your career, to your other aspects of your life, you would actually realize, you see, there's some courses you wanted to write last year, for instance. You didn't write it because you thought, well, I will. Now, I'm not saying you didn't write it because of the funds, right? I'm saying you didn't write it because, well, I'm still trying to, yeah? You said you will finish reading your Bible last year. You said you finished your Bible this year. First is gone, second is done, third is done. Paul is saying redeem the time, the days are evil. Yeah, you don't know what can change within a second, right? You don't know what can change for another within a second. You don't know what can change in the next breath, within the next breath. So you don't approach the days as though your time or time is in your hands. You see, the clock on your hands or the clock in your room only just gives you or makes you identify what the world or what part of the earth is facing the sun. That's just all it's there for, right? You don't have that revolving in your hands, revolving of the earth, right? You don't have the revolving, you don't have the night and the day, you don't have it in your years, in your hands. The number of years you will live on the earth, you don't have it in your hands. So what do you do? Every opportunity, you redeem the time. Redeem the time. There is no time to waste time. There is no time to waste time. Are we together? Right? You see, same thing with services, for instance. This year, don't say that, I'll go to church 26 Sundays and I'll do 23 Wednesdays. No, redeem the time. All together. You see, there are meetings where if you miss things at that point, you can't get it again. Look at, I feel like we need to, and that's what I plan to do with the series we're going to start earlier in the year. Some of us just believe that hearing that your sins are forgiven is all that there is to the Christian faith. Your glory, I'm part of God, I'm full of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's the beginning of so many other things that revolve around I'm born again. So many other things. So many other things. So many other things. So many other things. I want together, right? So you must get to have the approach, the right approach to do things. So the Spirit of God in us gives us a sense of His calling on our lives. The Spirit of God in us gives us a sense of His purpose on our life. God's will. What is God's will? God's will is never for you to miss a church service, a church gathering. Yeah, you say, I just feel like, no, let me just go as a, no, there are meetings you miss, and things you miss in that meetings, you've missed them and missed them. Altogether. Let me tell you something. It's very important. You see, one of my Christed meetings, probably the year before, we're in 2024 now, so 2022, probably, one of the Christed, but not this last year. Right, but what I've noticed is that I identified somebody in the teaching meeting. However, You know, sometimes when I teach, I just say some of those things very casually. And I just said it casually. And I was trying to identify who that person was. And the person said, let me not allow you to predict it. He, she, he, right? She was, right? He was, them were, they were, right? And she said she was shy to identify herself. She didn't want to come out. You know the funny thing? Now, you see, how I was at that point when I was teaching, and it came at that moment, is different from how I will be when I'm driving home. Now, okay. In both moments, am I still the same Joshua filled with the power of the Holy Ghost? Oh, yes, to the praise of His glory. However, there are people like that who have missed. Now, mind you, afterwards, reached out to me. I was like, why didn't you identify yourself as the one? I was waiting for you. Right, and you see, some of those things are those things that make me go past trying to identify people by the Spirit and spending time waiting for them. Except that, I mean, something happened even in this last Christ day. There was a family I had seen by the Spirit, clearly by the Spirit. I knew who they were, right? And I said something definite, right? But in saying something definite, I saw the response, and I was about to identify them. There are Kairos moments you don't joke with. There are Kairos moments you don't joke with. Yeah, well, we can say, see, why do you think there's some healings that Jesus did and some happened by laying on of hands, or some happened by contact, and some happened by words? Let me tell you, not every healing will happen by words. Some will happen by laying of hands, some will happen by words. However, in the moment, your attitude and your heart should always be around redeeming the time, for the days are evil. All together. Well, so for the lady, I prayed with her, held hands with her afterwards, and prayed with her after the meeting, right? And a week after, she came back with the report. Well, praise God, that happened. But don't you think that there's a tendency for that to have happened instantly the moment she was identified in the church meeting, redeem the time? So this year, we're going to have believers meeting, Nigerian church, UK church, we're going to have more believers meeting. Right? Once you are asked a question, right? Redeem the time. A lot of times I see some believers, in fact, it happens to me so many times when you have people in their tens reach out after, oh, Pastor, it's me you spoke about. And why do we do word of knowledge the way we do word of knowledge? It's to identify who we are speaking about. It's not for show off. Do you understand? So when we say you are this, you have that, you are related to this and that, and you are close to this and that, it's not because we want you to see we can see the Spirit. No, it's just to be sure that we are talking to you. So there are some of those information you might not remember. I've ministered to someone before. Eh? I identified the person's name, the person's middle name in that meeting, and the person forgot her middle name. Right? You see, you need to have a sense of being alert, redeeming the time. And interestingly, I move past that conversation, you know, more often than not. What I usually do, we just say it in open or in passing. Do you understand? But what happens if meetings like that are not recorded, for instance? There's some things I want to say at the time, and I say them at the time, for instance. And when you ask what, in fact, there are people who have reached out to me saying things like, oh, Pastor, you said this and this and that and this and this and that and that and this. I really will not remember, more often than not. Or happy are you when you find yourself in the middle of another believer who is giving himself or exposing their heart being free for the allowing the Holy Ghost to have a free flow in your meeting or around you? And what happens? You are sensitive. Your mind is not thinking on what you want to eat after church. Your mind redeeming the time. There are Kairos moments. There are moments that should not be missed. Are we together? So, in the coming year, you will intentionally make up your mind. Let me just give you a few things you want to deliberately pay attention to in this coming year. That you must make up your mind not to say, I will do tomorrow. See, writing goals is easy. Actualizing the goal is the issue. Are we together? Yeah? For some of you, when I have conversations with you around, what are your goals for the year? Say, this year, I want to finish reading the Bible. This year, I want to finish reading two spiritual books. What exactly is two spiritual books? So what do you do? You start with, I identify the two spiritual books I want to read. I find out the number of pages in this spiritual book. I divide the number of pages. That's the only way you redeem the time. Because what will happen is, you might think day one. So look at it. If you say you want to read the Bible every day throughout this year, right? And you say that, oh, I want to finish reading this Bible by December. How many days do you have in a year? 365. How many chapters do you have in the Bible? Yet you divide it equally. And you say, oh, I need to read 3-4 chapters. You know what? You know why? So that on the 3rd of January, you know you should have read 12 chapters. Right? You get that? On the 27th of January, not the one that on this 27th of January, you've not left Genesis 1. And you say your goal is, a lot of times you will not achieve things that way. Yeah, so in being deliberate about your goals, your plans, right? You in being intentional. So it means that if you say I'm going to pray 30 minutes a day, the moment imagine you are going on break, or maybe you just close from work, and you just remember, oh, I said I'll pray 30 minutes a day. You see, what do? You start praying at that point. Yeah, you redeem that time. So you take use of that opportunity, make use of that opportunity, of that season, of that opening, of that space, of that time, of that kairos moment, and start praying. Yeah, how do you deal with prayerlessness this year? You deal with prayerlessness by praying. Yeah, you can know all the Greek and Latin words for prayer. If you've not prayed, you've not prayed. So how do you tackle prayerlessness? You tackle prayerlessness by praying. Are we together? Yeah. How do you tackle reading the Bible? You tackle reading the Bible by redeeming the time and reading the Bible. Are we together? Right? So it means that if you say I wanted to finish reading the Bible this year now, by now you should be in chapter 13 or chapter 14 of Genesis or 15 or Matthew, or if you started from Acts based on the order we usually and pass across for those who want to read the Bible for the year. Right? You should be in Acts 13, Acts 14, yeah? Yeah? So at times as well, yeah, you might have more time. What do? You get from Acts 14 to Acts 22. Not so that you will not now read the Bible for another 3 weeks. When you now remember again tomorrow, what do? You pick up Acts 22. That's how you make use of the time. You intentionally put your mind, your heart, everything to it, right? You are sensitive. You are alert. You are redeeming the time because the days are evil. So this year, what you will do for yourself more, one of the things you will do for yourself yet more, is to take out time and pray and pray and pray and pray. Look at Luke 18. You know, there's some people who don't pray because they are waiting for the Spirit of God to prompt them to pray. Yeah, he said, I'm waiting for a nudge. You see, I saw someone talking the other day and he was saying something about how, oh, I only pray when I have the prompting. Let me tell you how to give yourself prompting. Go to Luke 18. Anytime you are waiting for prompting, go to Luke 18. Verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them, who is he that spake a parable? Jesus, to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Yeah, men always ought to pray, Yeah, men always, so anytime you say, oh, I don't have the prompting to pray, it's like there's already a default prompting in the Bible. Go and read Luke 18:1. Go and read Ephesians 6:18. Pray always. Look at Ephesians 6:18. Paul will say, Ephesians 6:18. Yeah? So, you don't have to have an impression that something evil is about to happen. By default, we're in evil days already. Do you get that? We're in unpredictable days, unstable days. Right? So, look at Ephesians 6, for instance. And if you look at verse 18. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So, in case you say, out of the mouth of two witnesses, the word is established. Jesus just said, pray always. Paul said, pray always. Yeah, Luke 18 tells you that he gave a parable to the end. And the end of the parable was that men ought to pray and pray always. You are a man. And that man that Jesus was talking about, you are that man. You are the man called by name is you. Yeah, you are loved by the fact is you. So you are called to pray. So in this year, you will pray more. Right? You will pray more. And there are times when you will say you want to pray 30 minutes every day and you've done 30 minutes prayer for the day. Right? And you just think you need to pray more. Pray more. They're saying pray more. Redeem the time. Redeem the time. There are times when you tell you will pray 30 minutes. Right? And you just keep flowing for another 2 hours. Redeem it. Yeah. Stay there praying. Stay there praying the will. Have the will of the Father on your full consciousness. Yeah, stay praying in the air. Stay praying in the air. So you'll be intentional this year to pray and pray more. Right? You see, for we as Christians, we don't have to get into a room to wash our hands and wash our legs and put our heads on the floor before we pray to our Father. No, we can pray in the bus, on the train. We can pray while we are boarding the flat. We can pray actually whilst we're having a meeting or just before a meeting or after a meeting or on our break time. Yeah, we can pray. Just about when you're about to close your eyes, you can talk in tongues before you sleep. Do that this year more often. Talk in tongues yet more this year. Yeah, pray yet more this year. Pray yet more this year. Pray yet more this year. For God actually wants you to be a man of prayer. Right? So what do? You redeem the time for the days are evil. There are times you will pray and just talk in tongues. And you don't have the definite of things you are praying about. You might not have. But what are you just doing? You are in fulfillment of the will of the Father, of the instruction in scriptures. Men ought to pray and pray always. Praying always with us. Praying always, rather, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. All together. Now, another thing again you need to do, you know, in the coming year is to make up your mind to maintain the heart and the posture of a child in receiving God's word. Yeah, you can write Matthew's Gospel 18, verse 1 to 5, when Jesus was talking about being children and receiving the word. Yeah, maintain the heart and the attitude of a child in receiving God's word. Now, what is that heart and that attitude? That heart and that attitude entails that when you are instructed, when you are corrected, you hearken and exalt those words with meekness in your heart. You know, now what these days, people don't like to be corrected. When you correct some people, the first thing you say, you are judging me. You see, there are some things that are terrible. See, can a Christian do something that is terrible? Yes. When you correct, that's not judgment. Yeah, you're not judging the person, you are correcting the person. You see, correction will not always come with a smiley face. You see, a lot of times, how you know people whose heart, or they have that heart and attitude of a child, a childlike heart, is a lot of times when they are being corrected. Altogether, when they are being corrected. You see, correction a lot of times will not... You see, when Jesus will correct Peter, what will Jesus say? Jesus will say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Yeah, you can explain away the word Satan and say it's a position and it's not a strong word. But in your English Bible, that's what you see there. Do you understand? Right? So, in the real sense, there will be stern rebukes and corrections that will come in this coming year. Yeah? For instance, we will start from the local church series we are having. There will be stern instructions that will come. Maintain the heart and the eye. There's people who want to correct them like this. Their body language changes forever. That's not the heart of a child of God. Yeah? See, James will say, from where does this come from? Where does this come from? James said in James 3, James 4. Listen, learn the heart that once you are corrected, especially from God's word, especially with a proper written document, such as God's word, bringing correction your way, you maintain the posture of a child. Let me tell you, you will not always have all joyful, rejoicing moments. You should always have moments where you are corrected and scolded, and you go back home and you cry. And you can cry in Christ because you are corrected. Right. Now, what do you do when you cry? You don't condemn yourself as you are one who is about. No, God loves you in your tears. But you should actually feel ashamed of yourself for certain things you do. Yeah. For some, it might be you come late to church. A pastor calls you aside and says, brother, sister, you're suddenly coming late to church. Oh, what's happening? See, pastor might not say it the way I just said it right now. What do? You go home and cry. Why am I not redeeming the time? Oh, dear Lord, our Savior. What do you think? What do? You pick your hanky, you clean your tears and say, I'm going to change from now. Not the one that... See, you will not now start going to church so that... Let me just go there and say that you will not see me. They will not say they will not see me. Oh. So when it's 8:59, you go there. You go to the church and say, pastor, I'm here. Oh. Pastor, I'm here. Oh. That's not the attitude. It is, I honor my office. I get to work before the resumption time. Right? And if for any reason I'm not getting to work, unfortunately, well, the days are evil. Redeem the time. Yeah? So this year, you maintain the heart. So you need to be corrected when you are coming late to church. So look at it though. You see, happy are you if your pastor can look you in the face and look you into the eye and tell you, you are coming late. Can you do better? Yeah, happy are you if you have that kind of, not the one that you, because they say it's from clap, people enter, dance. This year, don't agree for anybody. But the next thing you will do again is what? You put the service of God amongst everything. Service as an end. This year, you will put the service of God above every other thing. Above every other thing. You see, Jesus will teach, right, to follow me, yeah? And he was saying, following me, you will leave behind. No, it's not saying abandon. It's saying you will prioritize. So this year, you put service as an end in itself. Put the activities of the church. Now, we've given you the meetings of the year. Don't put your holiday, the week we have in Christ Head. Don't say you are traveling to Kenya, the week we have Rikindu. No, you won't say that. You won't say that. When we have wrong teaching, is that day you think flights are cheaper? No, look for another day. Altogether, right? You see, for instance, for me, right? In years, right? The only thing that can make me miss my church or my service in our local church gospel house is if I'm going for a meeting where I am going to be impacted spiritually. Yeah? What do? I revolve my holidays around Monday to Friday or Saturday. That's enough for me. Yeah. See, if for any reason I think that I cannot be able to afford the ticket that will make me come back on Saturday, then I skip the trip. And so that's me. And who am I? I'm your pastor. And Paul will say, let the elder rule be an example. And that's an example. So you pick the calendar of the church. You attach it. Not that if I miss this Rekindle, I'll be there next one. No. I'll give you an example of a brother. The last Rekindle meeting we had, the brother was around from the first second of the meeting, even before the meeting, till the last second of the meeting. He didn't get his healing in that meeting till the 4:59, and we closed at 5 o'clock, 5 hours after. 4:59, that last minute, right, was when by word of knowledge I spoke about it. In fact, it was an announcement time, right? So in this coming year, you make up your mind. As long as you are in church, you are in church. Being in church is not a time to be chatting with your friends. Some of you are in church, you are viewing WhatsApp status. Some of you are listening to me and you are still posting. Yeah, I'm not seeing anything now. Before I start talking about you, no, I'm not looking at my phone. But some of you, your pastor will be, say I'm sweating and you are still posting. Yeah, and what you are posting is Ashoebi. Do you understand? You need to be able to understand that you can actually redeem the time, make use of that opportunity, dedicate your mind, your heart, your attention, everything to God's word. Right, so you put that attitude of service, put that attitude as first in the coming year, as an end in itself, not as a means to an end in itself. When you serve, not because you want pastor to see you as the most dedicated person, the pastor can say, okay, become a leader. No, not everybody in the local church become leaders. Amen. Yeah, some of you can sing that song. I put you in front, you and I, Jesus, you are all that matters. Jesus is calling my name, if you call my name, I will answer a billion times. Evangelism, what? You didn't come last year. I will answer. Who are you deceiving? You're deceiving yourself. Yeah, you're deceiving yourself. Yeah, I will answer a billion times. You've not answered. We only had 12, let's say in the UK church, for instance. In Nigeria church, we have 24 days of evangelism as a corporate church, minus the group meeting, group evangelism you had. And out of 24, you didn't come for 10, and your voice is loudest. If you come and you're crying, why are you crying? Yeah, why are you crying? Those that came for 24 evangelism don't have two heads. Yeah, okay? Yeah, I'll put you in front. You are all that matters. You are all that matters. Why are you crying when you don't? For work, you get to work 30 minutes before time. For church, you get to work 1 hour before closing. Yeah, we see who you put in front. Okay? So, this year, you want to start having, dedicate your attention, your mind, you see, there's some weddings you will miss, and heaven will not fall. Yeah, there's some ceremonies you will miss, and the world will not crumble. There's some things you will miss on because of your dedication to the local assembly. Altogether, I always ask a question. If you were to be a pastor, there's some of you, there's some meetings you missed, but if I told you before that prepare to teach in that meeting or to prepare to teach in church, you'll probably do all you can to make sure you make it to church that day. Your heart, check it. Okay? Now, the next thing you want to do as well, this coming year, is to make sure that you respond more to God's word and God's love. Make up your mind, they're going to respond more, right, to God's word and God's love. So it means that the instruction of the word, the doctrine of the word, the teachings in the word, the correction in the word, you will respond more to God's word, right? You will respond. You'll be told that your sins are forgiven, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you say, glory! You will shout, you will scream, you will rejoice, right? You will respond yet more to God's word in the coming day. Yeah? This year, one very important thing I want you to do this year for yourself is what? To guard your heart. Look at it. There are some people's posts you will need to stop seeing. Right? There are some messages. There are some people you need to stop. There are some messages you will need to reduce your reply for. Right? Why? There are some things you will need to stay away from. Abstain. See, may your WhatsApp, may your Twitter, may your Instagram, not what, take you away from the center of God's will in this coming year. Are we together? altogether. Yeah, altogether. You know, the world is now moving at a very fast pace, where some of us think we can't do without our phone. Every second you're on your phone. Every second you're on your phone. Every second, every minute you're on your phone. Every minute you're on your phone. Yeah, you know, you can actually decide that because you want to redeem the time. Rather, your notification informing you have a DM in Instagram is informing you need to pray. Yeah, you can set that on your phone. It's a phone. Yeah, you can use your phone for things productive. Yeah, why don't you have reminders on your phone telling you that I'm going to listen to the word again today. I'm going to listen to this message. Have it in your calendar. I was gathered. So you guard your heart as much as possible. Paul was saying in Romans 12, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't watch movies more than you hear the word this year. Right? Don't watch seasonal movies. Don't watch all those series more than you hear the word. Some of you can watch one series 20 times. One series, only you. 20 times, you rewatch it. And the 21st time, you are in your friend's house. You say, I can watch it again. 21st time. Right? So this year, you reduce it. You reduce it. Don't watch movies more than you will listen to the word. Right? Don't watch movies more than you listen to the word. And that is why a lot of times, when storm comes, what happens? We don't have anything on the inside. Why? Because what you are thinking about is what? Jet. Amen? Now, this year, you will make up your mind to preach the word more than ever before. You will preach the word more than ever before. You preach the word to your colleagues. You will preach the word to your neighbor. You will preach the word to your friend. Friends you've had for 10 years that you never preached the word to, you will preach to them this year. Right? You will preach the word more on your social media platform. Yeah? Your page should not be the page where we want to laugh. That is where what we think about first. You are a believer. Yeah? Your page should not be the page where we know that when we want to know the latest movie, just go and check it. No. You are a believer. You are a saint. Right? Yeah? You should preach the word in, out of season, every time. Make that your priority. Altogether. Right? And this coming year again, what you will do again for yourself as well is to outdo your partners or your friends or people around you in the love walk. You make a reminder and say, this year I'm going to walk in love more. I'm going to forgive more. I'm going to be cool-headed. I'm going to forgive more. I'm going to let things slide. I'm going to let things go. Why? Because to whom much is given, much is expected. Altogether. I'm going to allow things to go. I'm going to let go of things. I'm going to allow things to slide. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to forgive genuinely. I'm going to walk in love more. Will people step on your toes this year? I can assure you, see, somebody can be stepping on your toes right now, and the person removes his leg, and the person says, oh, I'm sorry. And as soon as the person is saying sorry, the person is using his second leg to step on your other toes. Why? The days are evil. Human beings are the way human beings can be. Yeah, human beings are expected to be in a certain way because they are believers. However, not only people are transformed by the renewal of the mind. However, people are conformed to the things they see. That's why a lot of times we are product. If you ask yourself the question, why don't I forgive as much as I need to? Yeah, check the movies you're watching, check the friends you are keeping, check the stories you are reading. Diary of a Nigerian, whatever. Diary of a this one. But you have Bible to read. Some of you know all the stories that are being told of evil. All of them, you are the repository. You are the dictionary of all the stories that exist. Ah, you will say, ah. There's a lady that got an accident. Her name is Susan now. You are that definite. Yeah? But when they ask you, open your Bible to Nahum, you say, who are you asking about? Yeah? Think about that when you get home. Yeah? So, you will deliberately make up your mind to what? Allow the word to lead you this year. Yeah? So, you pray more, you allow the word to lead you, you forgive more, you have an attitude, a heart of forgiveness. Right? You pay attention to God's word yet more this year. This year, earpods are not only for listening to news or radio or music. Yeah, it's also for the world, can be used for the world, right? You can put your earpods on and actually listen to the word. You can be in the gym and listen to the word. Yeah, you can listen, you can be in the gym, keep breath under your tongue. You can be in the gym, listen to God's word. Yeah? Yeah, so you should have those moments when you are actively doing things and praying and listening to the word. And also have those moments where you are not doing any other thing but praying or listening to the word. Then have those moments. Yeah, you are cooking. What do you do? You can listen to the word. Right? Now when we're having major services that are live like this. Yeah, but you can go back to certain notes and go back to your notes. You can have those times in the week Or you say, oh, before pastor teaches on Wednesday, I'll go back to his note that he taught on Sunday and revisit the things that he said, the things he told us to do. I will visit them again, right? On Saturday morning, you go back to your note from last week Sunday, and so when pastor is recapping, you can flow. You can, oh, pastor said this. Oh, wow. Okay, you have those moments where you say, pastor, this year, I want to listen to this teaching. I want to learn more about this doctrine. Do you have a teaching that you can direct me to? Yeah, that's why we name our teachings the way they are. Altogether, not the one that you listen to the word 15 minutes in a week. Listen to the word, even on Sunday, half of the time you are in church, half of the time you are listening only when they are cracking jokes. And the remaining time you are what, thinking of, oh, I need to go to Morrison's, I need to go to Aldi before I stop in Lidl. Yeah, that's where you are using your time to calculate. You are using the back of your calendar. Your pastor is teaching. That's the best time you calculate. How much did I spend in Aldi yesterday? I bought this. I bought that. I bought that. Total. Put that calculator in the church. You see, this is what I'm saying. They're not figures. We are seeing them happen. So you make up your mind this year that no, I'm going to be intentional about the word. I will listen to the word. I will pay attention to the word. I will listen to what God's word has to say. I will listen to God. I will put God's will at the forefront of my mind. What is God's will? That all men are saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. What is God's will? That men actually, you know, are being disciples so they can disciple others. So you, because you are to be a disciple, you actually give yourself to discipleship. Right? Because in giving yourself to discipleship, you see a template to follow. You see an example to follow. Right? So you make up your mind, this year, I want to have 3 disciples. I want to have 5 disciples. I want to have 10 disciples. What do you do? You say, I will go out for evangelism 3 times a month. Church is going to have 2 evangelisms. I will add 1 more. I will add 2 more. I will go and speak to people. I will try to grow in the things of the Spirit. That's the attitude you need to have this year. Paul will say, right? Let's close there. Ephesians 5, 17. Wherefore verse 15 rather, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, that is buying up, right? Taking advantage of the time, of the moment, of seasons and times. Are we together? Because the days are unstable, unpredictable. Are we together? Wherefore be not unwise. So anyone who doesn't redeem the time is one who is unwise. And in being unwise, it means you're not redeeming the time. And in doing that, it means you are not placing at the foreconscious of your mind the will of the Lord and what it is. Well, I hope in this coming year, you will decide in your heart and you will deliberately ensure that you will do better for Jesus this year. Right? Whilst you have goals to do well in all other areas of your life, which is beautiful and lovely, right? What you must prioritize the most is what is the will of the Father. Redeem each time. You will be on the bus, right? Being on the bus is the time to listen to a message. Being on the bus is the time. It's not a time to listen to, you know, secular worldly songs and know all the lyrics. Some of you cannot be proud enough to show your Spotify Wrapped. You are not proud enough of it. Why? Because we know who we will see. We will know who is telling you thank you for listening to us. We will know. Yeah? Well, and in that same Spotify, we have teachings there you can listen to. So this year you decide and say, I will not listen to this type of song. You can do that. Yeah? What are you doing? You are guarding your heart. You say, this year, I'll be intentional about the things I learn. Well, it's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way. Be very, 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 very super intentional in the coming days and in the coming months and the coming year and the coming years. Right? For God counts on you. You're going to put the will of the Father right at the forefront of your mind. You're going to be intentional. Be deliberate. Be intentional. Right? About the things that God has called you to do. What is calling upon your life? He has called you, right? Around the ministry of getting men saved and getting men come into the knowledge of His truth. Well, this is our last special meeting. We're going to have this teaching still online. I'll admonish you. Go back, listen to them. Take the instructions that you've been given from this teaching. We're going to build on them in the coming days, right? And make up your mind that you will serve the Lord today. Right? If you have friends around you, get friends around you that you'll be accountable to and try to pull them up as well. Get friends as well who will pull you up. Don't be the one alone pulling everyone around. Get friends around you who will pull you up as well. Why? Because there is work. There's a lot of work to be done. And we know that by His Spirit, we will actually fulfill the will of the Father. Well, so on Sunday, Nigerian church, you meet by 9 o'clock. Okay? In the UK church, we meet by 10 o'clock. Come around 9 o'clock to arrange the meeting place. And 10 o'clock, we start our first meeting of the year. Don't come late. Make up your mind. Don't come late. Make up your mind that you will be there right in time. right? So I'll see you all on Sunday. It's a happy new year to you once again. Happy, happy new year. It's a beautiful year for us all. We're going to pay attention to God's word yet more in this coming year. And like we've said over time by the utterances of the Spirit, that we have the strength. We have the strength to achieve all that God has called us to do this year. I love you so dearly. And I know that you and I, in obedience to God's word, will take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Cheers. Have a good night. Love you.